Thank you. Blessed be the God of our salvation,
who bears our burdens and forgives our sins.
Jesus said, "The first commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading from Psalm 32. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to
to whom God imputes no guilt, and in whose spirits there is no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all night long. For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to God. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You
are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you, teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Most High.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in God. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting on their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back home safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Have you ever had an encounter with a piece of music or a work of art that completely changed the way you look at the world? The late Dutch priest, theologian, and writer Henry Nouwen did. His encounter with Rembrandt's painting, The Return of the Prodigal Son, made such a profound impression on him that Nouwen wrote an entire book about the painting and the parable that is its subject. The parable in question is the one we just heard in the gospel appointed for this fourth Sunday in Lent. It's often referred to as the parable of the prodigal son, but you could just as easily and more accurately call it the parable of the father's love. This parable is actually the final and best known of a series of three parables that appear in the 15th chapter of Luke. The common theme of these parables is God's longing and ardent desire to find that which is lost and restore it to right relationship. The first parable is about a lost sheep. The second is about a lost coin. The third is about a lost son, actually two lost sons, each distanced from their father's love in a different way. And the father who loves them both and who longs to restore them to right relationship with him and with one another. The first three verses of today's gospel reading set the context. In them, we learn that Jesus tells these parables as a way of responding to the complaint of the Pharisees and scribes that Jesus welcomed and ate with sinners and tax collectors. Table hospitality mattered a lot in first century Palestine. As biblical scholar and commentator Fred B. Craddock has observed, breaking bread together was the sign and seal of full fellowship. By choosing to eat with those whom the Pharisees and scribes would reject, Jesus was making a statement about the expansive nature of God's love. And all three of these parables about seeking the lost and restoring them to right relationship are actually about God's love. Let's take a closer look at that third parable, the one with the lost sons. Here are some key points that will help deepen our understanding of it. First, the younger son's demand for his share of the inheritance was outrageous. Heirs did not get their inheritance in advance. No one in their right mind at that time would have even dreamed of asking it. To do so was the equivalent of the younger son saying to his father, "I wish you were dead so I could have your stuff now instead of having to wait for it." Ouch! Second, the father's response to the younger son's demand was also outrageous. Those listening to this parable when Jesus told it would have expected the father to refuse the son's demand and to punish the younger son for having the temerity to even make that demand. But instead, the father, without any apparent argument, does exactly as the younger son wishes. He divides the property, gives the younger son his share. Third, the younger son had fallen very far indeed before he came to himself. Not only had he dissipated his inheritance and found himself in the midst of a famine in a distant country, the only employment he could obtain was feeding pigs. Contact with pigs rendered him ritually unclean according to Jewish law. It would be hard for Jesus' audience to imagine greater degradation. Fourth, the extravagance of the father's welcome when the younger son returns home is striking. The father literally picks up his robes and runs to meet him on the dusty road. Again, not the way you would expect a wealthy, dignified landowner such as the father in this parable to behave. What's more, the father asks no questions of his son. He makes no reproaches. In fact, the younger son doesn't even get to finish his carefully crafted apology before the father interrupts him with great excitement to order that he be clothed with the best robe, the best ring, and the best sandals, and last, but by no means least, that a big party be held to celebrate the younger son's miraculous return. And this brings us to the elder son, who up until this point in the parable has been missing in action. It turns out that he's been out in the field working, unaware of his brother's dramatic return until he heads back to the house, hears music and dancing, and learns from one of his father's slaves that his father is throwing a big party, complete with fatted calf, to celebrate. The elder son is furious. He refuses to enter the house and join the party. But what happens next? The father comes out of the house to talk to him, begs him to come in to celebrate. Notice the symmetry in the treatment of the two lost sons. The father comes out to meet the younger son where he is, both literally and figuratively speaking, on the road, exhausted, starved, ashamed of himself. The father comes out to meet the elder son where he is, both literally and figuratively speaking, outside the house, furious, jealous, deeply hurt. This, my friends, is another both and teaching. Yes, I love your brother, the father explains, and I love you. It's not binary, and it isn't a zero-sum game. Henry Nouwen's great epiphany in reflecting on the return of the prodigal son was that although he had been both the younger son and the elder son at various points in his spiritual journey, he was increasingly called to become more like the father, operating from the authority of compassion rather than the authority of power. And that is exactly what we are called to do as Christians. Friends, we are living in a time when powerful voices are trying to divide us, to convince us that there is not enough of anything to go around, to convince us that we should fear those who differ from us in any way. So now more than ever, we need to go back to basics. We need to remember who and whose we are. We need to act not out of fear, but out of the abundant love that created us. We must remember our core identity as God's beloved children and make that love visible every day in every way that we can, especially to those who are marginalized and under threat. If you haven't done so lately, I encourage you to take a look at our statement of commitment and action. You can find it on our website. We must continue to insist that all are welcome and make those words real in our actions. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
Creator Lord, you have given us eyes to see ourselves as we truly are, and the heart to accept your free gift of grace. Fill us now with the courage to step forward in faith, to repent of our sins, and to turn the life we have been given to your guidance and your service. O God of mercy. Creator Lord, impel the political leaders in our world, in our nation, and in our community to rally to your call and forsake the temptation and the vanity of power, and to govern with integrity, equity, and truth. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, fortify and energize all who are anointed to bring us your word and sacraments. As they shepherd us in faith, we walk together toward wholeness in you. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our Rector Pamela, our clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, sustain the faith and dispel the despair of all who are ill in body and mind or spirit, and of all who all attend to their needs. We now join our voices to pray aloud for all those in need, and especially those on our parish prayer list. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, lift us up from our grief into the hope of eternal life and joy, reunited with all those who are now live again in glory with you. O God of mercy,
we now confess.
O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you here this morning. We have our yellow sheet is full of things happening. I'm going to try not to read it all, but I do hope that you will. I like to say that if you're not receiving our email, where all of this and more is included in our weekly announcements that we send out, please do be in touch with the church office so we can get that to you. It's also just a way for us to be in touch as other things happen, and then you know how to reach us as well. So we have things that are kind of social coming up. We have that older and wiser laity tea, and I like to say if it's older and or wiser, you are invited. So if you're not sure which category you fall in, but you want to come, just let us know. We're hoping that people can tell us by today. We have a lot of RSVPs, which is really exciting, and we want to do a really nice job with that. So we just need to get a pretty good sense of how many people to set up for. And there's also a special coffee hour. You don't have to be older or wiser or anything. If you want to be here at church on Easter Sunday, which I hope you will, then we are hoping to make that a really nice event, and you can sign up to bring something. So we've got information about that in here. After church today, we're having the second to the last session of our book study. And if you haven't read the book, that's okay. The topic is one that I think we all can sort of relate to and have our own experiences around, which is how you respond in times when something that you did not choose is happening in your life, but it's part of the whole idea of how we learn to be brave. And if you like Bishop Buddy's work and are interested in hearing more from her, there's an online opportunity to hear her speak. She's going to be in Berkeley, is that next week? On the 9th, so the week after. And the tickets to be there in person are sold out, but you can join her online. So there's information about that in here. Lots more going on. We're going to have a team of us, I hope, are going to get together to do a hike in May. But right now, we're mostly focused on these things that are happening between now and Easter. So some of them are this week, some of them are next week. We've still got those Wednesday night soup suppers going on. I also wanted to say next Sunday is a first Sunday of the month, and so this service will be a first Sunday service. Even though we're getting to the end of Lent, we're going to find a way to make that our more informal, more family-oriented service. So the 10 o'clock will be that quote-unquote first Sunday service, the 8 o'clock will be the normal traditional service. And let's see, is there anyone here who would like a goodie bag? We have, if you're new, we have these little bags that we give out, our ushers give out. You just have to raise your hand to let them know, and we won't put you on the spot or anything. We'll just hand you the bag very discreetly. And it does have chocolate in it, which, you know, it's a Sunday, so go for it. Have all the chocolate you want. I see someone over here. I thought I saw more people in the back too, but anyway, so our ushers will help with that. We do have at least one birthday that I heard about. Was that the only one? Okay, so we ask people when possible, when you remember, to send in your celebrations or milestones that you want shared during the service ahead of time. And this week we are celebrating. Are they here? I don't see them here. Dennis Wilcox has a birthday. Is it today or tomorrow? I think tomorrow. So happy birthday to Dennis. Is there anybody else who would really like to share something over here? Yes. Is it Margaret's birthday today? Or, oh, wow, happy birthday. Aw, yay. Somebody's talking about age over here. It's okay. I don't want to hear it. Colette. Your birthday is coming up on Wednesday. Wonderful. Well, I think it's going to stop raining by then, so hopefully you'll be able to celebrate. All right, on page 6, we have a celebrations and milestones prayer that we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for communion today, we're back around the altar rail. We have homemade, gluten-free, vegan bread. And so everybody gets to have the same kind of bread. And then if you come to this side of the altar rail, I will intinct it and hand it to you. It's helpful if your hand is open to receive that. And then on this side, the bread and the wine are separate, and you can receive in either kind or in both. And everyone is welcome to receive communion here. If you can't come forward, if it's hard for you to get up around the altar rail, just let an usher know so that we can bring communion to you. And also, I wanted to say, it's okay whether you stand or kneel. Either one is fine. And we do try to have people fill in from the back and then forward to the front. And I guess I would say the only exception there that just occurred to me today is that if you need a rail, there's a space that doesn't have a rail. So I do understand that sometimes people need the rail for steadiness. But again, we're also happy to bring communion to you. So I think that's everything. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. By his grace, we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious God, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Maker of all. Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through our Savior, Jesus Christ, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.